Okay, everybody. This is The Rest is Confetti, and this week we watched Manos, Hands of Fate, which is an unwatchable dumpster fire. The end. We'll see you next week.
So this is, like we said before, an unwatchable film. I put, it has all the charm of stock footage.
Oh my gosh. It's like the film embodiment of the stock footage of the happy sad dude.
It is.
But like, I don't even, yeah, I mean like maybe the robe was kind of cool, but then as soon as I was like, well, I guess that could be a redeeming quality, it doesn't even look like hands, it's just stripes painted on there.
Right, not even that could be quality.
Were there even thumbs?
I didn't notice. They just looked like wavy kind of figures to me.
Yeah, and then, okay, so I have one thing that's like, oh, that's kind of cool, and it's really not, but next to the film.
Yeah.
So the guy that plays Manos painted the portrait of him and the dog.
I was like, okay, that's not that bad.
Yeah, and, you know, I think to myself, well, it's not good, but he never professes to be a professional painter, and it's better than what, like, other people could do. You can tell what it is.
Right. So. Like, there's some shading. I do think it looks a little bit like the Thriller, like Michael Jackson's Thriller video with Freddie Mercury, though.
Oh, yes, like, it does.
Thriller Freddie Mercury.
He does look a little like Freddie Mercury. His eyebrow, and I say eyebrow. I left the S off on purpose. And like, don't bother plucking it at that point, because they literally plucked like one hair's width in the middle. Just let it go all the way across.
Right, just own it. If you're gonna own it, just do it.
Two mustaches, it's fine. You're supposed to be some weird godlike person. I don't know what he was supposed to be. I don't know what the wives were supposed to be. I don't know. Did it end on a pedophilia note?
A little bit.
Like a wife?
Yeah, that is, like, so how it is kind of, at least I understood it, the way it ends is, obviously, first of all, we have the most anticlimactic ending, because this movie feels like it goes on forever. We've got the wives dancing, all that stuff. And then, how do they, well, you think they defeat Manos for a minute. They shoot him. They just shoot him. Takes like 3 seconds, he falls over, it goes to a completely new shot of new people that we don't know, who then drive.
And 3 seconds on screen is forever.
It is, especially when there's no actual acting going on. Like, he's not in agony, he's just still standing there, and you just assume, oh, maybe he died? But then the girls that drive up, they see Michael, the dad from the movie, who, again, like, none of these people really matter. You don't care about any of them, except maybe kind of the little girl. But, yeah, the dad, like, talks like Torgo did. So, clearly, the dad has been given the role of, like, his, like, number two, his Torgo. And then, yeah, the daughter and the wife get, like, taken into the cult. And a lot of people were mad about that, and rightly so, because it's like, that's not, like, it's not like she's, like, 17, like, almost on the brink of womanhood. Like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. She's, like, 6. Like, it's pretty creepy.
And then when the wives are fighting, they're talking about, oh, she must be allowed to live. She'll grow to be a woman. Well, you don't, none of these people age.
Mm-mm, it does not seem so.
She's not going to age.
No, it is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
And that little girl's the daughter of the guy that plays Manos.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know
that. Yeah.
What a wild film. I don't know why this film was. One of my favorite things, though, is that Torgo, his, like, secondhand dude through most of the movie, who has weird legs because they wanted to make him a hunchback, but yes, they thought that was too played out, so they gave him, like, hunchback knees. And I'm like, where? Again, like, I don't question too much with this film. Like, it was made by someone who knows nothing about filmmaking, sadly. But oh my goodness, like, it looks ridiculous. But anyways, the actor is tripping on LSD through the majority of the scenes, and it's really obvious. He's twitching. He can't, like, look anyone in the eye for too long. You can tell he's kind of, like, seeing things that aren't there. Like, this dude is tripping throughout the movie, and it's obvious, and I just can't believe that this is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, if there was ever a time to, like, do meth. Choose meth instead of this film.
Yes, it's so. This film will take something from you and it won't give it back.
Yeah. You're like, I could shoot heroin, or I could watch Mono's Hands of Fate shoot heroin.
If you're like, should I just shame eat a whole cake and a bag of McDoubles, do that, because it will be better for you than watching this movie.
Yeah, Courtney's example is a little better than mine. Don't do meth or heroin. There's never a good reason to do meth and heroin. I just was watching this movie thinking, like, I just want to black out and wake up when it's over.
I want to have pills that make me forget this, like in Arrested Development. I want the joke.
I'd rather be watching Ghost Rider. Nicolas Cage's
Ghost Rider. Oh, hands down. Like, I could make a list of all the films that are better than this. It's all of them.
Oh, and the audio was so bad, and there's no excuse for it because it was filmed without sound, and the sound was added later. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like, overdone. Oh, it was windy and their speakers were bad. They recorded the audio, like, separately in a quiet room, like we're doing now on our very, very amateur podcast.
Yes.
And I couldn't understand hardly anything anyone said, except when the lady's like, let me out of her. Let me out. And that, my acting's too good. I can't even act that bad. It is. I'm a bad actor. I was never in drama. I was never in theater. It was so bad. Oh, and one thing. So spit really bothers me. I act like I have a strong stomach, but I feel like every podcast I've been like, oh, this bothers me. Oh, this bothers me. I don't know.
We all have our things.
Yeah. But like spit really bothers me. And did you notice when those people are making out in the car, who they're supposed to be teenagers and they look like they're in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making out for a really long time. And then she stops and she like swallows the spit in her mouth and then says her line. And I'm like,
ew. It's so ew. Because also that is an absolutely pointless. Like I don't know if they're there with, they were supposed to be like a framing device, but like, yeah, you just three or four times run into a random couple just making out. And it's
yeah, I was gonna ask you that because I only watched it once and I just was like staring at the floor most of the time. But did I miss something with them?
Mm-mm. No, it does nothing for the storyline. Like the cops happen to talk to them as well, but like I think they just say like, oh, there's a place down the road. Like it's not anything that they couldn't have just written, like, the cops found out somehow. Like, there's not much of this film was not thought out. So I'm like, why did we overthink that?
Not have the cops, because the cops didn't do anything either.
No, nothing does anything for this film. It's so bad. And, like, they didn't even try to, like, match the dialogue. Like, you can't tell really whose voice is whose for forever, I feel. Except Manos. Yeah. Like, I feel, well, not Manos, the master, he's called. Like, yeah. He spoke pretty, like, I could hear him and understand him, but that was, like, it.
Yeah.
That's not much.
Well, and I read the lady in the car, the making out spit-swallowing one, like, she was supposed to do something, but she broke her leg and couldn't do it. So they just had them make out in a car. First of all, what was, it obviously wasn't that important what she was supposed to do, because she didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, the guy she's making out with, they're supposed to be teenagers. He's wearing a wedding ring. They didn't even bother to have him take his wedding ring off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and I also love the dog. So I have a Doberman pincher, and they're just like the dorkiest dog. Like, maybe boxers are a little bit dorkier than Dobermans, but Dobermans are the second dorkiest. And I loved the dog in the background. It was so obviously just someone's pet. It was the master, the guy who plays the master. It was his personal dog. And the dog's, like, trying to lick people in the background. At one point, he's yawning.
Super friendly. Like, just a dog, clearly. Not a demon dog.
Yeah. It's not trained. It's not like the dog from The Omen, which I know that's a Rottweiler, and they're different. I understand. But, you know, for comparison's sake.
Yeah.
Well, it's just yawning. It's licking people. When Torgo has to lay down on the thing, it's like licking his face. They have to keep it on a leash because it's obviously not movie trained. And then when
no
they're all
one
sleeping,
is movie trained.
No one's movie trained. And then at the end, when they're all like tied to, or like against the pillars, and the master is sleeping, the dog's just like tied up on a chain, just, like, looking around, like, what's going on?
Hanging out?
So does he, like, what? And the wife that gets tied to the pillar, and they just, he's like, you shall be sacrificed. And she's like, oh, no. And she just walks over to the pillar, and they tie, like, a shoelace around her.
I know. They didn't even try with any of it.
To be lightly braised.
No, none of this makes sense. Like, and they don't go into any of the lore or explain, like, why any of this is happening, why he has wives, what he's even about. He's just the master, and he's got these, like, six wives in flowy Tampax, like, commercial dresses. And yes. It's the worst violence ever, too. Like, when they're supposed to be, like, attacking Torgo, they're literally just, like, shoving him. Just, like, not even that hard.
Their like, lady fight, their girl fight was so funny. It was so bad. And they're, like, white bras and yes. granny panties underneath. And
it's so bad.
Though, I want to recut. So this movie's in the public domain because the director didn't know how to do the copyright stuff. And he didn't put the right copyrights on it. I want to re-edit this to be a tampon commercial.
Yes, and I challenge those of you editors on the internet, please, please take Manos, Hands of Fate, and do something amazing with it because it's such a garbage fire right now.
I mean, if 2020 was a film, it would be Manos, Hands of Fate.
It would be Manos, Hands of Fate.
Yeah, that's probably the best comparison.
The generous 1.9 that it has on IMDb. It's pity votes, guys. Let me promise you that.
I mean, this... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, like, Halle Berry's Catwoman has, but I know that's, like, notoriously one of the lowest rated films ever. It should be way higher than this.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because at least you get to stare at Halle Berry's body.
Right. And there's kitties. Like, it's not all bad.
And there's no dog murder, because I hate that the little girl's dog dies. And she's like, where's my puppy? I'm like, this is awful. I'm stupid.
Right. No, it's... Guys, it's the worst
movie. Luckily, the film did not, like, captivate me where it bothered me, because I felt like the dog really died.
I was like, that dog's fine. He's just hanging out. Like everyone else here is. It's not like
the Milo and Otis or whatever it was where they really killed the cat by throwing it in the river.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So.
Oh God, Milo and Otis. That's... I'll do a Courtney review on that one. I do. I have that on VHS.
Oh, gosh. I have a VHS player if you ever want to watch it.
It was one of my favorites, and I remember I did watch it, I think when I was maybe, like, 20. It's been a minute, so I don't remember a lot, but I remember being like, this is not a children's film. This is, like, I saw live animal birth, which, like, I don't mind, and it was educational, but it's very graphic. And then, yeah, like, the animals get thrown into the water, from what I can tell, in real life, and it's mm-hmm. pretty sad. And I was just like, why did my yeah. parents let me watch this?
It's and why did I watch this movie? Children's films.
Keith and I were talking, and we agreed, if you cut out the actual animal abuse in Cannibal Holocaust, I would give it, like, a 4, maybe. Like, there is a coherent storyline, it's pretty decent acting, and the slight... Because that's the thing, there's, like, hardly any violence with the actual cannibals, which is disappointing. There's, like, a... There's two scenes of rape that's really intense and graphic, but other than that, it's just the actual animal violence, and it's awful. But if you take that out, it's still way better than this, and that's scary, because you know I hate Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
And what it did to me.
Well, and, like, when you stopped by the other day, we were talking about it, at least Cannibal Holocaust, like, had, like, quality film and sound.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, even just technically?
Yes. Oh, technically leaps and bounds. I've never seen a movie quite this bad before. Like...
I saw this movie one time, and I can't remember what the name was. But it was a movie where these, like, fish people came up and, like, assaulted these women and impregnated them. And then they gave birth to these weird fish people. And they, like, died, but also, like, got really deformed and disfigured. And it was really bad quality. I mean, like, grainy film, weird kind of muffly sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the costumes weren't great. I think it was a 70s movie or something. And it was... Okay, I totally lost my train of thought. I don't even know. This film melted my brain. I don't know. What was I talking about? I was talking about the movie, and I was talking about... What was the first thing we said? I don't know.
I can't backtrack.
I'm not even drinking tonight. Because I chose tonight to give my liver a break. Because I'm an idiot. Nice.
This is my first and probably only drink of the night. So, I mean, it's not... It's only like 5%, so I'm not going to be, like, drunk.
Oh, I remember what I was saying. Okay, so I can try to splice this back to what I was saying before. Like, it was just... It was still, like, a better, more coherent film. Like, yes. It looks like... It was poorly done and low-budgeted. Like, low-budget. But you could tell that a director wrote a script and had a plan and made costumes and wrote dialogue and made a film. Whereas this is, like, I've never seen something this bad released as a film.
Like, even student films, actually, student films lots of times can be the best because they're trying to prove themselves. But, like, I've even seen some, like old, like, let's say, like, 80s or 90s student films that I'm like, no, still leaps and bounds because there's any semblance of, like, an actual storyline or characters. You just...
I mean, we've... Yeah, any of us who are interested in movies, and even some who aren't, like, as kids, found a camera and made a short, goofy video at one point in time.
Oh, yeah.
And... Those are better quality than this movie.
It is. It just, oh, it's so, it's frustratingly bad, but, like, man, it is. It's an abomination. I wrote down abomination underline.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Really bad. Oh, man. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't know that there is. I mean, there's the driving, there's the spit swallowing, there's Orga, who's supposed to be Igor.
Yeah, weirdly Igor. Again, hunchback, but then hunchback, like, legs? Again, so confusing, not really sure, because it seemed to make it so much harder. Yeah. Like, and I will say, like, I can't imagine walking around in something like that and being on a drug like LSD. That would be insane.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know why this film exists. I appreciate Mystery Science Theater 3000. For letting me know, because, like, I tell people, like, there's Cannibal Holocaust, which, again, really just because of the animal violence that's real, and then there's this movie, because it's just unwatchable, and even Mystery Science Theater 3000 can barely save it. Like, they apologize. It is one of the few Mystery Science Theaters where, like, the characters that are holding them hostage in it actually apologize. Like, they walk by and they're like, I'm really sorry you guys have to watch this, it's, like, really bad, and they all agree it's the worst film they've ever done, and I agree.
Oh, yeah, well, and apparently when it premiered, and of course I just got the notification that now my Walmart order is finally ready for pickup. It was supposed to be ready at 5.
Wow.
So they're just gonna have to wait for me. I'm gonna do this podcast probably won't be one of our longer ones because there's just not a lot to say.
No, it is shockingly bad.
Yeah. I was reading that when the premiere of this movie happened, there were, like, a lot of really important people and dignitaries that came, and people started booing the film, and a lot of the actors snuck out before the end so that no one would know that they had been a part of it.
I get it. Like, I would have done it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Just really incredible. Oh, the driving footage, too. Because, yeah, the intro. So there's, like, I would say maybe almost 10 minutes. It feels like forever, but it's probably just, like, 10 minutes or so. First 10 minutes is just really bad, really weird driving footage. Half of it's from, like, a dashboard cam. So, I mean, you can't even really tell, like, where we're going. It's not like, ooh, there's a pretty scenic shot. Like, no. It's just boring. Yeah, no. And apparently the credits were supposed to, like, go over it, and then they just didn't do it. So, but it's like, okay, well, that would make a lot more sense if there were credits going over it, but there's not. So it's just 10 minutes of driving and no character development at all.
Yep, it's just bad.
Bad.
Just so bad. I don't...
We're going to watch a really good... We should watch, like, The Thing on the next one. I owe you a really good movie after this one.
Yeah, we'll have to think about what we'll do. Oh, we got so many good ones.
We
on
do.
Our list. Mm.
We shall ponder. Yeah. But yeah, it'll never be as bad as this one, I promise you that.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is, like, we did it. We can't... Like, there's just nothing worse than this, so...
There isn't.
Scholars
agree.
Someone made a film of when those weird people put cameras in porta potties and videotape people pooping.
Yes, I think that's about the only way.
The sound and film quality would probably be better.
It would. There's no way it wouldn't be.
Poop humor. We love poop humor. We talk about poop.
We do.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about this.
No, this is really about all there is to say about this movie, is it's awful. I would only recommend it to people who really just like watching bad films or, like, Mystery Science Theater 3000, obviously. And, yeah, you should just look up the trivia, though, because the trivia is just bonkers crazy.
Yeah, or, like, a Mystery Science Theater compilation of highlights, because there were a couple good jokes. But even they had a hard time. Like, they couldn't save this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But even that was like, oh, you can't, you could tell. They just didn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
It's just so bad. And it's, and there's not even like a guilty pleasure thing, like an orgy scene with the wives or anything. It's like nothing. So it's not even like, ooh, I want to watch some weird culty porn from the 60s. Like, no.
Yeah.
They're just in granny panties and bras and sheer curtains, shoving each other's faces into the sand. Barely.
The lighting is awful. Like, there are several scenes where you can kind of see, like, they're shooting at night and the lights are not going far enough, really. And
like
it's
someone shining a flashlight.
And it is, it's just, oh my god, it's so bad and not even in a good redeemable. Like, I would watch Sharknado 1,000 times in one day before I watch this film once more.
Yeah, no substance can save this film.
No. Absolutely not.
There's some movies that we'll watch, that I'll watch, and again, because of COVID-19, like, we can't be together. But there's some movies I'll watch, and I'll text Courtney and be like, okay, when quarantine is lifted, add this to the list of we're going to get together, and we're going to get trashed and watch this.
Yes. Oh, Zombievers is on, like, one of the Amazon apps. I'm excited about that.
Zombievers is perfection. Maybe we'll do Zombievers next.
I'm totally cool with that one. That one makes me laugh so hard. And it's been a minute, so.
Oh, it's so amazing. Oh, it makes me so happy. I've watched that movie, like, 10 times. So I like to pretend that my favorite film is some like, tour de force performance. Sorry, I didn't say the right. Tour de force performance. You have to say it like that.
You have to.
And, then I find myself, like, when I'm happy, I watch Zombievers. And when I'm sad, I watch Zombievers. And when I'm mad, I watch Zombievers. And when I have no emotions and I'm dead inside, I watch Zombievers. I'm like, I think my favorite movie is Zombievers.
When I'm happy and drunk, I watch Zombievers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there. Like, it is a very just enjoyable, dumb, awesome romp.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just talk about Zombievers for the rest of this.
Yes. We're gonna save the movie with a better movie.
Oh, I know what we could do. We could do a mini review of Invisible Man and Onward at the end of this episode, because it's a shorter one anyway, and then those are two fantastic movies that came out, and they do deserve their own episodes, but that's not really what we do on this podcast, because other people are reviewing those for you guys, so we'll just do a quick blurb on them, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Oh, yeah. I could talk about that.
Real quick, we will rate Monos. Don't watch it. And what should our rating system be?
I guess like 2 out of 10 out of two hands.
Yeah, fate. Two hands.
So 10. Okay.
So on a scale of 10 Monos hands, I'm going to take a machete and hack off all the limbs and give it negative 10.
I'm going to give it the shit emoji.
Shit emoji. A hand holding a pile of shit.
My son had
to poop and he was naked and we were nowhere near the bathroom and I yelled no without thinking and had that parent instinct and I caught it in my hand. That moment is the rating that I give this movie. All you parents understand.
Yes. I second that. I second that. I just have cats, but yeah, samesies.
Handful of shit. And then macheted, so you get an infection and die.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the gangrene gets you in the end.
Yep.
Yeah, no, this is terrible. Oh, it is.
So bad. All right, so we'll talk about Invisible Man first.
Yes.
Courtney and I got to see it before all the COVID stuff happened.
It's the last movie that I saw in a theater.
It was so sad. Invisible Man is fantastic. Like, if you have watched Monos for some reason, which don't, we watched it for you. Don't.
Yeah.
But if you did, and you need a palate cleanser, I think Invisible Man is worth every penny of the $20 for early access on Amazon. Obviously, that's relative to your situation. But I think it's worth it. Yeah, if you have $20 in an entertainment budget, it's worth it. My mom and dad rented it because I was curious about one thing, which does it have the same impact if you're watching it on the small screen at home as opposed to the movie theater? Because we all know the theater creates this atmosphere and you feed off the other people, good or bad, and all this stuff. And mom thought it was fantastic, and she got scared and jumped and all the things when the guys, the biggest jump for me was when she threw the paint on the ladder out of the attic and he's there. And then the thing is, we knew that was coming, but the trailer made it look like he had been chasing her and they digitally moved it so he was farther down the ladder when she threw the paint.
So it still threw me.
But in the movie, he's like right in front of her face. I'm getting goosebumps. Oh my gosh.
And he's so quiet. Like, he is unnervingly quiet. Like, because that's what scares me, too. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, he's just, you don't even know where he is. You'd think at some point you'd hear, like, something. But
because he's a sociopath. So he can do stuff like that.
He's control freak.
Oh, my gosh. And the other part that really got me that I don't know that just anyone would have picked up on this, but when she's in the room, he's dead. He's gone. And she's unpacking her clothes. She's finally free. She's got the money, set up the account for the girl. And then all of a sudden she just stops and she turns around and she looks around the room and there's nothing weird that's happened. There's nothing to tip her off. She just has a feeling. And I don't know if people who have not had experience with abuse, psychological abuse, would understand that, but it's a real thing where you get this feeling that cannot be explained. Nothing has happened, but you just know. Like, the trauma changes your brain where it's like, I obviously don't believe in, like, superpowers and X-Men and things like that, but things can happen to you where you have heightened senses.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. And that is real. And I thought it was, I'll let Courtney talk in a second. Sorry. I thought it was such an amazing representation of an abusive relationship. It wasn't even a movie about an invisible guy. It was about an abusive relationship, and it was written that person. I would love to know the person's history, the director and writer, if they ever choose to share, because they've got to have some history with that sort of thing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, the themes of narcissism and gaslighting, like, we've talked at length about that. I mean, that's probably the favorite thing for me, at least in the film, is that it really brings attention to, like, exactly what gaslighting looks like. Mm-hmm. And you kind of realize, like, oh no, I do know someone like that. I knew several people.
Right. Now, obviously there's varying extents, and for her, there was a physical aspect too. And that's not the case for everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It did bother me when, and this wasn't a criticism of the film, I think that they made a point to set it up this way, where she's telling the cop and her sister about what the guy did to her, and she's talking about the control and the psychological aspect, and they're, like, not thrilled about it, but then when she mentions the physical abuse, that's when they're horrified, and it's like, you don't understand. The physical abuse is obviously horrible. It's the psychological abuse that you really never recover from. You find coping skills and it gets better, but you never are the same after you go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, was like, I don't know. Highly recommend it. It's fantastic. I'll be buying it on DVD when it comes out.
Yeah. Elizabeth Moss deserves an Oscar for this. Like, I really do think she does.
Yeah.
She should at least be nominated.
I first saw her in the movie television show Invasion. Did you ever watch that?
No, I didn't. Like,
it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's on IMDb TV. Watch it. There's only one season. It sucks.
Okay.
But it's this town in Florida, and a hurricane comes through, and it's an Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's like a take on that. It's really good. Or it was good when I was in high school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure I'll appreciate it.
It's better than Mono's Hands of Fate.
Yes, I know it is.
She's in that, though.
I trust.
And she's crazy. And that's my first time I saw her. So, fantastic movie. I love it.
Yeah, that would get, like, 100%, 10 out of 10. Whatever scale we're rating, like, that, I have no complaints. I have nothing I would fix about that movie, really.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if we had our rating system for that, would probably be Dobermans again, because I love them.
Yes.
And the Doberman in that movie was so sweet. Also, points to Invisible Man for not hurting the dog.
Yes, and thank you for showing it, too, and not just being like, we're wondering, like, did the dog live? Did the dog die? No, the dog made it. Thank God.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 5, adorable Dobermans, it gets 5.
All 5.
And then Onward. Courtney, tell me your thoughts on Onward.
Onward will probably win Best Animated next year, unless Soul gets nominated. Because Soul looks intense, but oh my god, Onward, it's so, first of all, we love fantasy. So
fantasy
I felt,
and Chris Pratt.
Oh yeah, and Tom Holland. Like, very represented as far as just, like, all the characters, all of that stuff. It's so beautiful. It's, oh, it hurt me. I cried so much. This film was very relevant to me for a few reasons, but yeah, it's great. It's Pixar, so it's going to make you cry. I highly recommend it. Everyone should have watched this by now. Like, I've told everyone, I told my mom too, I'm like, make sure you have tissues, and I'm really sorry because it's going to be sad, but it's really good, I promise you, and it's worth it.
Yes, yeah, it absolutely is. I thought it was fantastic. I cried within, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of that movie when he's crossing all the... Well, first I started to tear up when he was writing his list and Be More Like Dad, and then I cried when he crossed it all off, and then I cried more when he was listening to the tape. And then, oh my gosh, when he realizes his brother was the one that was there for him, I was just like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, that, like, Keith had to, like, hold me. I was sobbing so hard. I was just like, oh no. But yeah, it's so great.
Oh, and Courtney warned me the dragon at the end might be scary for my son because he's 3.5. And the dragon was really good. And he was creepy.
It was.
But Calvin got mad that it wasn't scary enough.
Oh, awesome. You're raising him
I'm
well.
I'm raising him right. Yeah. But yeah, the colors, the design, like the whole story, the idea that the fantasy world is like advanced like ours. And I loved the skyscrapers. Everything had the fantasy element, like the castle, tops. You know what I'm talking about if you've seen it. And the mushroom houses. I loved when Officer Colt at the end was running and his long flowing mane of hair.
Yes. Oh my god. He's like low key, like favorite side character probably. Like it takes a minute. He's kind of annoying at first, but then you're like, oh no, he's a good person.
Yeah. And I loved that. Okay. I also loved that mom was alive because a lot of times in Disney movies, mom's not.
Mm-hmm.
I love that the mom and the manticore are both females come in and help save the day. Again, it's kind of like in Apostle we talked about. Like, they all work together.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. When Ian gets, you know, finally learns to use all the magic and he's, like, running through the air with the invisible bridge and all that stuff was fantastic. I know that it was a goofy part, but it actually made me a little emotional when he's driving and he has to merge onto the interstate because Barley's tiny and he's like, I'm not ready. And Barley's like, you'll never be ready. Merge. And I'm like, oh, you'll never be ready. Oh.
Oh, I get that. No, that, I mean, it's Pixar. They know exactly how to tug on each and every one of my heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And
you learn that the reason Barley's never afraid of anything is because his fear kept him from getting to say goodbye to his dad. And so he's like, I'll never be afraid again.
Way too real. Like, that was, like, it reminds me of Inside Out in that, like, I just feel like it doesn't matter who you are, you're gonna relate to someone or something in this movie, and it's gonna make you cry and feel better about things, and the magic is so pretty. Like, all the blues and, like,
beautiful.
The purples. Oh my gosh, yeah, I can't say enough good things about this. And again, Chris Pratt, Tom Holland, like, come on. It's so good.
Gelatinous cube!
Gelatinous cube. And I do love that, like, because I only ever was in one, like D&D campaign, but I had a lot of fun with it. I think it's great. Fun. And I like that they kind of called attention back to that too, because I'm like, especially now, like, that's probably the next thing we should just start doing is like online D&D campaigns. Like, you can make that fun.
We're going to set that up. I want to do that.
Yes. Tyler might even like that. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I think he would. I think he would. Yeah.
Yay.
But yeah, that's about all there is to say about that, I think. It's fantastic. Yeah. That would also get, if we rated it, magic staff splinters. It would get 5 staff splinters.
Yes.
5 gelatinous cubes.
5 gelatinous cubes. Yes. That is what this film gets. It's amazing.
Yeah. Every time they are riding down the river on a Cheeto, Calvin goes, "They're on a Cheeto. I hope I get to ride on a Cheeto."
Same, you know, same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's beautiful and way too realistic looking, too. I was like, oh, my God, I do want to eat that Cheeto, though.
Yeah. Speaking of Cheetos, I got to go get my groceries, so I'm going to have to cut us off.
That is okay, dude. This has been fun.
Yes. Well, thank you all for sitting through our Monos Hens of Fate discussion. I hope that the discussion was enjoyable for you to listen to.
Next week's will probably be more structured. This one was just, it's so bad, that's really about all we can say about it. So then we talked about other movies, and now we're going to go do adulting.
Yeah, we're going to go adult. So, yeah, next week, keep track of us on Twitter and Instagram, Confetti Pod on both of those, to see what we're going to do next week.
It will be better.
We're going to treat ourselves. Courtney's husband wanted us to do a podcast on one we didn't like, and we wanted to also. It's not like Keith was bitching about it or anything. No. He just recommended we do one we didn't like, and we kept trying to pick ones we thought we wouldn't like, but we liked them. Well, now I think we have earned ourselves a good film.
A really good film. Yes.
So, yeah. Keep up with us on social media to see what that film will be. And then you can also email us, confettipod@gmail.com. And then I think if we can get it to all work out and with timing, because they're in Australia, we may be doing a collaborative podcast at some point. I don't want to give too many details just because I don't want to commit us to all of that. More out of respect for them, because I don't want to commit the other podcast. But we have no problem letting you down. So, I think we're going to skip the what are we reading and what are we going to read section, because I got to go get groceries and be grown up.
Yes.
But most importantly, there's booze in my order tonight, so I got to go.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
The name literally translates to hands, hands of fate. I drank a bunch of tea and water before watching this movie, and my bladder was on fire because I had to pee, and I still haven't peed because I just want to feel something right now. The highest paid actor of this film was the dog, and it got paid in a bag of dog food. We like completely skipped over like intro or anything. Oops, oh well. It doesn't matter. This episode is going to be reflective upon the content. Well, Courtney watched it twice, so she's a saint. Like, I'm so traumatized right now. I can't remember what our structure is. I mean, I guess we kind of talk about initial thoughts, which we've talked about, and then we, like, rate the film, but everything gets a negative score, so I don't know that that matters. This movie was longer than Endgame. This movie was longer than all of the extended Lord of the Rings editions put together. It's a dumpster fire that stars Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies and Freddie Mercury. Oh, just a minute. My dog is coming down. Sarah, you're making noise. No, you're so clacky. Okay. How did this happen? Where is your father?